Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. I trust you brought your pens again. I do have some extras. Brother Paul filled up the basket, all right? So if you need a pen, raise your hand. We can open our Bibles to the second chapter of Philippians, Philippians 2. This morning I'd like to just share a little bit about relationships that we have in the gospel among the body of believers, in the body of Christ. And in our service together, there are things for us to learn that we can serve better and to serve one another. We'll see in this chapter how it's not so much about serving those outside the body of Christ, but serving within the body of Christ and being a blessing one to another. We'd like to think that maybe every church or every local body of Christ is perfect. And if you found the perfect church, someone said, don't join it because then you'll ruin it. But no church is perfect and no people are perfect. And yet, in the body of Christ, there is love and there is mercy that we show to one another. You know, God is merciful. We talk about God's mercy, but one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so I think a good rule is let's give our brothers and sisters the benefit of, what do they say, the benefit of a doubt, you know? Don't judge so harshly. Let's not be so critical. But let's look in mercy and think the best of others. All right, let's read some of this together. There are really four sections here, but I don't know if we'll get to cover them all. But if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, now this is NIV again, and I've chosen that to read. I think it's for our young people, maybe helpful. For me, it's helpful, so I finally understand what the Bible says. No, after all these years, that's what the Bible says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, now I stop there because, see, in the King James, it's in Christ. But that little word in has so much meaning. And the thought of being united with, being one with, in union with, connected with, in Christ. Very important phrase that Paul uses. And so you've been joined to Christ. Just as the branch is to the vine, I'm joined to Christ, I know He's mine. Right? So in Christ. If you have any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Who was he writing to? He was writing to a church. Do nothing in church out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Who's the best here? Is it Reed or Brand? Who's the best? Huh? William. William's the best? Huh? We like to be the best, don't we? But to consider others better than ourselves. Each of you. Now, this is an important verse. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, what does that mean when we look to our own interests? Well, let me say it this way. We look out for number one. Who's number one? Me. I take care of me. I do what's best for me. I look out for myself. You know, if you don't look out for yourself, nobody else is going to look out for yourself. You've heard that, right? But that's not from the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we should look out for the one next to us. Those girls in high school who need guidance and direction. We need to pour into their lives and look out for them. You think God will take care of you if you look out for others? What do you think? He will. He will. And so don't always be concerned about me, 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 me. But look around. Look around. Ask God to open your eyes. You know, it's hard for us. And yet we can learn these things. Isn't that what this is about? That we don't have to be the way we always are? That God can change us? Sister Elsie, can God change us? Yes, He can. Even at, well, I'm not going to say your age, but. Yes. No matter how old we are, God can change you. Brother Bob, God can change you. He never stops working in us. And He makes us a blessing. All right, so let's go on. So that's kind of the, I think, the theme now of the rest of this chapter. And He gives us now three examples of this thought of not looking out for ourselves, but looking out for someone else. Showing interest in someone else. And the first example is who? Jesus, right? Jesus is our example of humility. Or do you say it humility? Or do you say it humility? Humility, right? He is our example. And again, there's much we could say here, but let's just read it together. He says this, your attitude or your mind should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now there are a number of things that we can see from this. Do you think it was in Jesus' interest to come down from heaven and to die on a cross? Well, first of all, to be made like you and me. You see, Jesus didn't come down like he was like a superhero. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't just appear, like, out of heaven, drop out of heaven and say, I'm here, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to die for you. No, he came as a little baby. He was born just like you and I are born. I mean, again, we can't really wrap our minds totally around this. It's a mystery. But it says he took on flesh. You know, again, Jesus is God eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. And yet he somehow became that little baby, conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. He wears our humanity. That's what it means here when he took upon our flesh, being found in appearance as a man. He was made in human likeness. But not only that, he came as a servant. You know, when the wise men came, what did they look for Jesus? What did they look for Jesus?
The palace.
Yeah, they stopped at the palace. They said, hey, well, if he's the king of the Jews, he's got to be at the palace. But where was he? He had been born in the stable, and he was in the little town of Bethlehem.
And so he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, if you want to write something on your paper, I know I'm trying to prepare you for school, kids. You're going to go back to school. Here's my blackboard up here. You see it? Yeah. I'm going to write on the board, all right? And you're going to copy it down. But maybe you could just write this down, that Jesus did what was best for us, not what was best for him. Jesus did what was best for us. He had your best interest at heart. He knew that you needed a Savior, that I needed a Savior, that we were lost and hopeless and helpless, bound in sin, no way to escape. And so he does what's best for us. He empties himself And he comes down, takes upon himself our form, our likeness, and he dies upon the cross. He was obedient unto death. Now you can put that down to it. That word obedient is so important. Obedient unto death. Even death on the cross. This is one of my, again, I always hesitate when I say my favorite passages of Scripture, but it is. Because it goes on to say that now God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to skip over the middle part. I'll let you kind of look at verses 12 to 18 yourselves. But then in beginning at verse 19, there is another example. Now, the first example is Jesus, right? So what did Jesus do? He humbled himself. He came down from heaven because he was thinking about what was best for you and me. All right? And he died upon the cross. Now we have another example. Beginning at verse 19, it says this, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Everyone have that? You see it in the Bible? Yes? You with me? Yes? Anyone? Yes. Hello? Yes. Hello, Pilgrim Camp.
Hello.
All right. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Now this is what the Apostle Paul says about Timothy. I have no one else like him. Now I think he was talking about his fellow workers. Did Paul have fellow workers? He had quite a few that associated with him and worked with him. And if you read through these letters, you'll find different names. And that's kind of an interesting study. Find all the different names of Paul's co-workers in his letters, because he mentioned them by name. And so here he says about Timothy, though, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. King James, who naturally cares for you. Now, what that says to me is, you see, I can kind of someone said it today. Well, maybe it was a prayer. We put our best face, or we put our best foot forward. And I kind of know, like, I should be nice to my cousin Donald, right? I know that he's related to me. And I should say hello to him, be nice to him. How's it going? But that has to come really from my heart, right? Because we know how to be nice. Do you know how to be nice? Yeah? Or your kids. You know how to be nice, right? Your parents teach you. Nice to older people. Brother Phil, say hello to him. Tell him he's a little skinny. You know. Good today. Buy him an ice cream at the boathouse. No, but with Timothy, he didn't have to put it on. Nobody had to tell Timothy how to behave or how to love. It was just something in him. The love of God had so filled Timothy that he naturally cared for others. There was a genuine interest in them. You know, have anyone ever come up to you and said, how you doing today? And they're not really, they don't want you to tell them how you doing. They really don't care. How you doing? Oh, you're doing good? Okay, great. That's nice. High five. Let's go. Bump fist and we'll go on. That's not a genuine interest. So be careful. If you tell someone, how you doing today? How's it going in the kitchen? Good? Yeah. You're enjoying your time at camp?
Yes.
Good. God working in you?
Yes.
We're praying for you. Amen. Now that has to come from my heart, right? And it does. But Timothy, there's nobody else like him. He genuinely cares for you. He puts your interest ahead of himself. So he is being like who? He's being like Jesus. He's being like Christ. You know, I think the family, how many, we had a lot of families here, right? This is family and friends, right? So in the family, there are so many opportunities to put these things into practice
Did you know that, guys? What do you think? Reed, do you care about your brother?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Do you care about your little sister?
Yeah.
You care about Finch? Of course you do. And in a family, instead of always saying, well, I was going to...
Who gets the... I don't know. All right, I'm walking down the path. I'm going to walk off the cliff, but it's all right. Who gets the TV remote?
If you have a TV, all right? If you don't have a TV, God bless you if you don't. I mean that. But who, you get the TV remote, huh? No?
And you know, we could fight over that little thing. Who's going to watch, you know, I want to watch what I want to watch. You ever say that? I don't want to watch what she's got. I don't know.
I mean, this is just little things, right? But this is life, right? And then maybe it's not over TV. Maybe it's where you want to stop to, you know, is it McDonald's or is it Burger King or is it, you know. I have three kids.
Audrey's here. Yeah, I have to be careful. But my middle child says, Dad, you never ask me where I want to go. You always take them where they want to go. You know?
But if we could just learn these lessons, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. I'm here to serve. I'm here to be a blessing. Even in my family. Let's begin there. You know, over the years you hear different things, and one wife complained, you know, my husband, he'll bless everybody else in the church, but can't even change a light bulb for me. Right? He'll go help everybody else. I'm in trouble now too, because, you know, I sent some texts home and helping out here, doing this, doing that. My wife said, boy, when you get home, there's a big list for you to do. praise the Lord. So it begins at home. Here's what my dad said. You can write this down. He said this. It's not profound at all. So, but he said this. He says, I'm here to make life easier for everybody else. That was my dad. So fathers, husbands, I'm here, you're here, to make life easier for everyone else in your family.
All right, that was Timothy. And he just goes on, and there's another reference to the gospel in here. He says, you know about Timothy. You know, he's like a son to me. We're a son and a father who are serving together in the gospel. And so, what an encouragement that is, that together we serve God. A father and a son. There's another example, and we'll close with this. The end of the chapter, there's a, I don't know, who can say that name? Epaphroditus? Yeah, we got it. Epaphroditus. Let's all say it together. Epaphroditus. Wow, his mother was, I don't know what she was thinking. It must mean something. It must have a real important meaning, right? The name. Epaphroditus. He goes on, it says this, I'm beginning at verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Now, listen, and maybe this is something you could write down. All the things that he says about, he gives them little titles, right? So Epaphroditus, my brother, right? Now, I don't think he meant his natural brother, but his brother in the gospel, his brother in Christ, right? He's my fellow worker. He's my fellow soldier. All right, so different pictures we get here, right? We work together, but we also fight together. who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. So it seems that Epaphroditus was from Philippi, from that church, from that body, and they had sent him to be with Paul. I'm believing it was at Rome, right? And he had gone there to help Paul. He goes on to say, he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. And indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and may have less anxiety. Now, let's just stop there a minute. You know, we didn't really talk about Paul being an example, but he's saying, you know, Epaphroditus, he's been a real help to me, but I'm happy to send him back to you because I don't want you to worry about him. I'm going to do what's best, not for me, but for you and for Epaphroditus. But there's this testimony about him. Verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Now, I don't know the particulars of this. I don't know if, you know, different Bible scholars have an idea of what they're referring to here. But it seemed in his ministry to Paul, whether it was on the journey to or from or while he was with Paul, Epaphroditus risked his life. He almost died so that Paul could be blessed. And I look at this as being something, maybe we could use the word sacrificial. You know? Do we love sacrificially? Do we give ourselves sacrificially? It would seem to me that it wasn't convenient, if we could use that word, it wasn't convenient for Epaphroditus to be where he was. But he did it out of love. And it cost him something. And so I think if we could just, you know, put a caption or a summary around this chapter, you know, we're together in the body of Christ. We're together serving in the gospel. But we have to do that unselfishly. It's not all about me. It's not all about convenience or my blessing. But it's about the willingness to give ourselves so that someone else is helped, that someone else is blessed, that someone else's load is made lighter. And so are you willing for that? Now, we all should say yes. We all should say yes. And I'm going to begin. You know, I'm going to talk to you children. You're going to say, I'm going to begin in my home. Did you ever go to your mom or your dad and say, what can I do to help? Yeah, good. Did you ever tell your mom, what can I do to help your mom? Will you? Should I ask? Yes. No. But as children, could we say that? Would that be hard? But I thought mom and dad are here to serve me. Well, we are. Right, Audrey?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Amen.
Yes. But as children, now I want to. As children, let's learn to serve. And parents, it's not wrong to expect our children to learn to serve. If they don't learn to serve in the home, I'm not sure they're going to learn to serve in the kingdom. And so let's begin. We serve one another in the love of Christ. We serve one another in humility. We serve one another realizing that we're not the best.
We want to think the best of others. So it's just very practical. I think it's a very practical teaching that we have here. I don't think there's anything here that we don't understand. Jesus is our example. And then Timothy is an example to us. And Epaphroditus is an example to us. And so let's ask the Lord to help us today. Today. By love, it says, serve one another. And so it has to begin in the body of Christ. It has to begin at home. And so let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Certainly He does. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again. How You speak to our hearts. How You call us into that place of humility. That place of service, of servanthood. We thank You, Lord, that You are our perfect example. That You did what was best for us. That You were looking not to Your own interests, but to our interests. Lord Jesus, we want to be like You. We want to naturally care for our brothers and sisters. In our families and in our churches. We want to naturally care for our husbands, our wives. And Lord Jesus, we want to be willing to sacrifice and to lay down our lives, as it were, for one another. We're not here, Lord, to please ourselves. The word even says You didn't even please Yourself. You weren't here to please Yourself. You were here to please Your Father and to serve. To give Your life a ransom for many. And so, Lord, again, remind us that real joy, true joy, comes when we put You first and we are willing in that in obedience to You, to serve others. And so, Lord, help us this day. Lord, surely today there will be opportunities to put these things into practice. And so, Lord, we take the grace that You're giving right now. I pray for every family that's here. I pray for the children, the young people. I pray for the adults. Lord, help us to model these things. Help us to be examples that our children and young people can safely follow. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your grace. We need Your Holy Spirit to come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So encourage us, Lord. Help us not to be discouraged today. You have help for us. And so we believe that You are able. We give this day to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing number 9 in closing. Number 9. Let's, in the white book, yes. Let's stand as we sing. And then forget. Ready?
No more need fear and no defeat with power. but Christ himself in me. He conquers now, he sets me free. I take, he gives a victory. Precious provision, wonderful prospect. Jesus will rule and Jesus will lead. He is my shepherd. Take the life of victory, not I, but Christ himself in me. He conquers now, he sets me free. I take, he gives the victory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, Jesus, you come. Lord Jesus, you come. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Vince, would you pray with us in closing?
Yes, sir. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this word, this study, this message, Lord. Be with all our churches back home. Be with
yes,
the pastors
Lord.
There, Lord. Give them strength to preach your word.
Yes, Lord.
Your gospel. In yes, Jesus' Lord. Name. Amen.
Amen.